There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Our up and away, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. A reminder, the phone number, 343-0106, also works for the text line, 343-0106. At this segment of the show, brought to you by my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So if you didn't notice, holidays are not far off. And I'm not saying what your neighbors told me, but maybe some junk around the house or inside the house, get it out of there. Like I've said before, the key to organizing a house is to have fewer things in the house. That makes it easier to organize. Or there's this thing called a garage a lot of people have on their house. And a thing about a garage is you can put cars and trucks in them if you get the junk out of them, whatever it is. You got a storage unit that's got junk in it, a big stuff around the house you want gone, small stuff, getting a house, getting ready to sell, whatever. You got junk, you need it gone. This is my man Trey. He's been doing it for 16-plus years in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting rid of junk. The appointment process is very easy. They find a day that works for you, a time that works for you, and set a good old-fashioned appointment, and they'll be there. All you got to do when they show up is point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get it done right then. So check them out. Get that appointment set today online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or call them. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So check it out, and then I'll tell your neighbors that you took care of it. All right, it's great to continue with our Veterans Month discussions, and this is brought to you by On-Site Auto Body Solutions, and it's good to have this man back in. Last time he was in, we were talking about a music festival going on to benefit Warrior Legacy Ranch. It is U.S. Marine Corps Corporal Patrick Jump. He is Alabama's Veteran of the Month for November. The crowd goes wild. It's good to know this man and his work he does with Warrior Legacy Ranch, continuing to give back to veterans. Good to see you, brother.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
So it is Patrick Jump Month, man.
Yeah, well, it's November. It's
crazy. I mean, it's like it's doubled up. You're Veteran of the Month in Veterans Month.
Yeah, and I feel like I was just here like a couple weeks ago for the concert. So, yeah, it's been a crazy couple of months.
Yeah, if y'all see this, so Senator Tuberville put this out and talked about your service to our country. And I want to get to Warrior Legacy Ranch and talk about all the great things going on there. But first of all, thank you from me, my family, all of us here for your service to our country in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a story I like to talk about with everybody, and I say this, that you've gone through this conversation with me before, but I asked this question of World War II veterans that were on with me a decade ago, and to anybody who's just back home, I asked the same question first. Your enlistment story. This is why I'd love to get the enlistment stories from folks. Take us back then. What was going on? How old were you? And talk about it.
So I don't know. There's a lot of variables that go into that.
Okay.
I was the youngest of three. I have two older sisters. My oldest sister went to college. She's 5 years older than me, so she'd gone to college. And as I'm getting ready to graduate high school, she's preparing to go to chiropractic school. So she's a chiropractor here in Fairhope. And her husband is right up here on airport at Cairo South. So she'd never really changed, but the sister that's 2 years older than me, she had changed her major like three times in 2 years that she was in college. And I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life or a job. I thought about the military. My father was in the Marine Corps. And then, I walked into my history class. It was government. So I go into government class, and they had that 27-inch screen TV hanging on the wall, like ready to fall off and kill someone. and as I walked in, it was third period, just after 9 o'clock, and one plane had already hit the tower, and he always had the news on, Mr. Barrett. He always had the news on. One plane had already hit the tower. He's looking at it, and just then, as I'm watching live, the second plane hit, and I was like, So, like most people...
How old
are
you at this point? You're 17, 18?
I was 17.
17, okay.
Yeah. So, 17, and got home that day, and I listened to George W. Bush with that pretty powerful speech he had that night.
Stand there with the bullhorn. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, now I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and join the military because I don't want to like waste my
parents'
money.
You were already kind of thinking about it. I mean, you're the son of a Marine. But
sure. I didn't want to waste my parents' money on college or anything like that, or take out college student loans to keep changing classes. So I was like, all right, let's go do the military. College will be paid for. I'm like fifth generation military. So both my grandfather served in World War II. My dad's great uncle was the first Marine. I just found that out recently. Honestly, his great uncle served in World War I and was actually in 1st Battalion, 6th Marines, the same unit I was with. But he was there in World War I.
And you ended up in the same?
Same unit. And he...
Unaware of it. It's not like you tried to...
The reason that they call Marines devil dogs, like he was in that battle, the Battle of Belleau Wood.
And so, you end up in the same?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, total chances. But I was like, all right, let's join the Marine Corps. My dad's like, oh, it's something extremely proud I did, but I never wanted to see my son do it. My grandfather, having been a brigadier general in the Air Force, was like, you should have been a fighter pilot.
Yep.
Marine Corps was best uniforms. Sorry to everybody else, but they're the best uniforms. And, so I did the delayed entry program at 17. My parents signed off on it, And I went in and swore in MEPS on January 3rd of 2002. Yeah.
Wow.
And then 8 months later, I left for boot camp.
Did you have talked to Marines, friends of mine, and people have been on the show. They'll say night two or three at boot camp, they kind of lay there in their bunk and go, what did I just sign up for? what did I sign up for here?
No, I was completely prepared.
You're gung-ho. You got it.
For the most part, you know, I grew up in that like very rigid household. My dad having been a Marine, and he went through boot camp during Vietnam in 1966. So it was a little different then. You know, he used to talk about drill instructors punching him in the stomach and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, well, okay.
Okay, so you were already ready. You knew,
I was ready.
Okay.
And I had seen Full Metal Jacket and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, all right, I could do this.
So you didn't have that moment. Some of the others I've talked to, they said, woke up on night two and said, what'd I do?
So now, I could also remember the recruiter telling my parents, like, hey, you remember, like, how fast the Gulf War was, the first Gulf War. He's like, you know, by the time your son graduates high school and gets out of boot camp, this war is going to be over.
And then like, they didn't realize,
20 years later.
Global War on Terror, goes on decades. There, so, and you served, obviously, in the Marine Corps. You served in Iraq.
Yeah, so I was in Afghanistan in 2004, just north of Kandahar and little villages. We slept for 74 days straight with no showers, no running water, eating MREs every day, sleeping on the hood of Humvees. In Daishopan is what it's called. Daishopan, Tarinkaut, that area. We did 7 months with the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit. The longest deployed MEU in the history to this day.
Is it really?
And the MEU colonel, Frank McKenzie, he ended up being the commanding general of U.S. CENTCOM, and he is now a board member of Warrior Legacy Ranch. So he was once in charge of me, and now I'm a little bit in charge of him.
How's that feel? Good?
Yeah.
Then you served in Afghanistan, and then
Iraq. So I was in Fallujah in 2005 for another 7 months, out of a little place called Camp Bahariya, which was just down the road from Camp Fallujah. There's a polluted lake. It wasn't polluted before we got there, but the Iraqis polluted it. But it was originally an Iraqi military officer's retreat. So like we stayed in these little cabins along this polluted lake that we weren't allowed to go in.
It's odd. Like, there's a pretty lake, but by the way, don't get in it.
Yeah.
So with your service to our country, you to a T, to even like our buddy Tom Claxton, Marine, I know y'all, and we would figure you get done, you know, a Marine's always a Marine, but once you're not active, you figure y'all be just sitting on the front porch doing stuff. But every one of y'all I know continues to give back in different ways. Your way is very, very big. Warrior Legacy Ranch, you hear us talking about here on the show. This is Patrick's dream, his heart here. Somebody who hadn't heard about it yet, what is Warrior Legacy Ranch?
Man, I think back to the first time that I was in on Dan and Dalton in the morning, and I talked about it, and we were like, hey, this is this facility. It's going to be used for reunions, and it's going to be so important for veterans all around the country to be able to come and have that. I think by April, 4 months later, I realized that Baldwin County, Mobile, Escambia County, Florida, needed its own, like, veterans, I guess, civic center is a good mm-hmm. word for it. So we're calling it the Baldwin County Veteran. Well, I'm going to change it. Everybody, I'll announce it on your show.
Okay, here we go. Full breaking exclusive. News.
It's going to be called the Gulf Coast Veterans Community Resource Center.
Okay.
At Warrior Legacy Ranch, still on our property. It's 2,250 square feet. It'll have 4 10x10 individual rooms in it that can be used for mental health therapy, counseling, that sort of thing. Working with the VA, immersive team, they provide virtual reality headsets that people can wear and go talk to veterans around the country.
Oh, wow.
So working on trying to get some of those for the facility.
This is some new stuff that I hadn't heard
about.
Yeah.
And then there'll be, of course, a multi-purpose room that can be used for group counseling and events. My wife wants to do some stuff with veteran spouses, so like sipping paints and yoga.
That's a story you talked about with me before, Patrick, is that, you know, when you have these reunions, there was a bonding between you and your fellow Marines, but it was so important what happened with the wives and girlfriends bonding, that they bonded, but explain why that's important.
Yeah, so I mean, being married to a veteran, people might disagree with me. That's what makes our country so great. But being married to a veteran is not easy. We're not easy to deal with. We're fairly stubborn, kind of set in our ways. I don't know where that comes from. but they love us, so they don't want to go anywhere. But they might need some support, too. And they're trying to, at the same time, like, because they love us, they're trying to help us through our issues. But it's not just about the veteran. It's about the people that are part of that life. So my wife's fully committed to running those. And I know you got Sergeant Major Battaglia coming in. I have a little connection to him as well from back in the day. But I bumped shoulders with his wife. And I was like, hey, you know how you used to run all those, like, military spouse groups and support groups for the regiment and division level? I was like, how would you like to keep helping? And she's like, you guys, you Marines, you never give up.
Y'all don't. Yeah, I've noticed. But yeah, and what spawned this, I think, is so interesting too. And our discussion, then a good friend of mine, Marine Jonathan McConnell, and I talk about the way y'all get together, trying to get together. And he talked about, you talked about something, he said, oh, Sullivan, it cost a ton of money to get people together because I got people coming in from everywhere to do that. And it has been a roadblock or at least a speed bump for Marines or so anybody in the armed forces to get together, because now I want to see everybody, but we're going to travel to wherever. We're going to Orange Beach. We're going to Myrtle Beach. We're going to wherever. You got to get to rent places. You got to get rooms. You got to get food. All that stuff costs a lot of money.
Yeah, and I mean, the other side of that is, so I know John, we've talked before, he rents multiple houses.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, what's happening in one house may not be happening in another.
Right. You're not all together.
In my opinion, we got to get them all under one roof. And that's the purpose of our building. It'll be large enough to sleep 50 people. The other is the cost barrier. We're, you know, through our donations and our partners, we're absorbing that cost of the facility, of the house. You know, I encourage anybody, get on Airbnb and see how much it is to rent a place that'll sleep 32 people. I bet you're looking at
big money. It's big
money. $7,000 to $8,000 a night.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the way this works here is people can give as well. And now you have, like, the concert we talked about before, you got fun ways to do it. But in addition to that, people can give at any time by going to the website.
Right. I encourage everybody. Our biggest ask right now is $2 a month. And that's, like, preloaded in the donation site on our website. You click donate and fill out that information.
Which is warriorlegacyranch.org. Okay.
Yeah, so. or .com.
You got .com, too. Okay, all right.
Okay, go to either one, warriorlegacyranch.com, warriorlegacyranch.org. Sign up for $2 a month. And then, I'm you'll see it on our Facebook page if you follow us on Facebook, coming out. It's already posted on Instagram, but you know how, like, you try to hit those high traffic times. Mm-hmm. So it's scheduled to come out at 6. It's a breakdown of exactly how we're going to spend the money. Because I want to be fully transparent with everyone about how...
What you're doing, where
your money's going.
That's important.
I can tell you one place it's not going. It's not going in my
pocket. Patrick did not roll up here in the Bentley.
No. I have a full-time job, drive a company truck, and that's what I showed up in.
Yep.
But you mentioned Parrish Rentals. You were talking about mm-hmm. Parrish Tractor earlier. They've been great. Like, they're a great partner.
Awesome.
They're awesome people.
I didn't know that. Blaine and my boys over there. That's awesome.
I've used their equipment multiple times to mow down and get rid of weeds and take care of the facility. I need some volunteers once the burn ban lifts. We're going to burn off like 14 acres of underbrush in our woods, get that cleared out, and start making it up.
You know that. I mean, you know how to talk about that. You know that's what I do.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've set the woods on fire on purpose. So I got the drip torches and everything. So we're good. The blowers, yeah.
I want a flamethrower in a contest.
Of course you do. And listen, let the civilian do it. Civilian style. You Marines will do what you do. And also, before we wrap up, too, you've got, I know it's off in the distance, but this sounds like a lot of fun, event coming up in February. Am I right?
Yep. In February, we're doing a Top Golf tournament with 422. It's another veterans organization, local, out of Fairhope, but it'll be... You get 4 hours of Top Golf. It's $360 per team. A team is three people. Food's included. Alcohol is not. But you can come spend February 7th, half the day on a Friday, skip work, and come golf for a good reason.
I like it. We'll talk about that more when it gets closer. And a reminder, too, that we do this every year. We do our charity bartender event over at Fairhope Brewing Company. And this year, our charity is Warrior Legacy Ranch. So remember, that's coming up December 4th over at Fairhope Brewing. And we'll see Patrick and everybody there. Yeah, before we wrap up, what you got?
Yeah, and tomorrow night, I'm going to be at Ed Seafood in Spanish Fort, because what I haven't told you is the Gulf Coast Veterans Resource Center, that's being supported by PP Hospitality.
So Panini Pete. That great guy.
Sorry.
No, he's an awesome dude.
And the Baldwin County Homebuilders Association, so through their foundation. So you can donate to them on behalf of us as well if you want to cut their foundation a check. They're going to be building the Gulf Coast Veterans Resource Center on our property. And Ed Seafood tomorrow night, I think starting at 6 o'clock for bike night, they're going to be raffling off a TV.
Excellent. So there's a lot of ways to donate and help out, and a lot of them are quite fun.
I got a big secret coming up in December.
Okay, you can come back here and talk about it in December?
Yeah.
All right, that's our man. He is Alabama's Veteran of the Month, too, here in November. He continues to give back. Patrick Jump, thank you.